So typically, if I have surgery scheduled, I try to get here about 6:30 or a quarter to 7.
Yeah.
And we're going to go to the what we call here the open heart recovery unit.
I'm Jeffrey Cousins. I was born in Welch, West Virginia, in the county of McDowell. I'm the youngest of 11 children, and I'm a heart surgeon. By the time I was born, my mom was 46 years old, and my dad was 50. And my father had spent about 30 or so years in the coal mines. And so when I was born, his health had already begun to fail him. My mother, on her 11th child, she was having some health issues as well. She developed diabetes, gestational diabetes, which wreaked havoc on her eyes, her kidneys, her heart, and what have you. So I spent a lot of my early years back and forth to doctor's offices and hospitals because of my parents' health. It was somewhat disheartening because we didn't always get any answers when we went to the physician's office or to the hospital. In fact, a lot of times we left the hospital with more questions and confusion than when we showed up.
Dr. Jeffrey Cousins, who's now 42, decided at a very young age that he would one day help the people of West Virginia in a way that he wished his parents had been helped.
Hello. Just wanted to kind of get an update on bed four. The lady in bed four, she's an 88-year-old lady who was transferred from Thomas Memorial Hospital here for an emergency bypass surgery because she had had a large heart attack.
Yes.
So this is my little lady here. She promised me when she came in that she was going to walk out of here. She wasn't going to be carried out of here. Each morning I remind her of that. I think she's going to be okay, but I'm praying and pulling and keeping a close eye on her all day, every day. Yes.
This looks like an intensive care unit.
Yes, and it is very intense. It's usually where my first stop is in the morning, and I make several stops throughout the day, and subsequently you always stop in open heart unit before you go home in the evening.
How does this unit compare to units that you've worked in around the United States?
This is a superior unit. It's very well run. We have some very experienced people here. We've done more heart surgery than most places in the entire world on a yearly basis here for a long time. And that fact of doing so many for such a long time really makes us good at it.
Though life took Jeffrey Cousins away from West Virginia for a while, as soon as he finished his medical training, he moved to Charleston with his wife and children. The heart surgery unit here at the Charleston Area Medical Center is the closest he could get to the southern coalfields where he grew up. Dr. Cousins prefers using innovative, state-of-the-art surgery techniques and is one of the few surgeons in the state who does beating heart surgery.
Typically and traditionally, heart surgery has been performed with the heart-lung machine, which is a big machine that has a lot of plastic tubing, and you connect the patient to the machine and you kind of stop the heart, and the machine provides the blood flow, oxygen, and what have you during that time. Beating heart surgery, where we eliminate the heart-lung machine, we do not stop the heart, and because of technology and instruments that we have, we're able to do the surgery with the heart beating. And so I think my patients recover a little faster, get back to their normal life a little better, and it eliminates a lot of issues that we develop with the heart-lung machine.
Additionally, Dr. Cousins is one of the pioneers in the United States of robotic heart surgery, or more precisely, robotic-assisted heart surgery. Right now, he's the only person in West Virginia doing it.
What the robot is basically an extension of my hands. We make small incisions, and through these we can put long, skinny instruments. Once we get the instruments in place, we dock the robot next to the patient, and then the robot is connected to a console where I sit down like I'm playing a video game. From the console, we can control through very high-tech and computerized programming. It translates the movement of my hands into these instruments. So when we can do big surgery through tiny incisions, people benefit with a lot less pain, a lot less blood loss, and a lot less time to recover.
When Jeffrey Cousins was 9, his father retired from the coal mines and moved the family to Detroit, where some of Jeffrey's older brothers and sisters lived. There, he won a place at a top public high school and was offered full scholarships both at the Air Force Academy and the University of Pennsylvania. He chose Penn and from there went on to medical school at the University of Michigan. After he finished residencies at St. John's Medical Center in Detroit and the Medical College of Virginia, Cousins returned to West Virginia.
Hello, sir.
Hello.
How are you?
Very well.
Jeff Cousins came to Charleston as a cardiothoracic surgeon. That's when we met him and fell in love with him.
Dr. Asif Rahman, Chief of Staff at CAMC.
An excellent surgeon and an excellent human being. I mean, the two things that you really need in a physician.
How would you rate him as a cardiothoracic surgeon?
Well, how many stars do we have? Five stars. 10 stars. So he's way up there. I think he's way up there even at a national level.
After he does a surgery, Dr. Cousins meets with patients' families. He views that time as extremely important.
He's very compassionate.
Patient representative, Barbara Patterson.
Most of the time, the doctors will talk to the families, but they won't sit down and talk to them. It's like they're talking at them, but not to them. And he gives them an opportunity to ask questions. And I've seen him stay after surgery with a patient. If his patient isn't doing too good, he'll stay with that patient and the family, and he'll constantly come down and talk to them and keep them updated. There's no one like Dr. Cousins. No one like him.
To be able to understand what made Jeffrey Cousins the man he is today, you really need to see his roots in the steep hills and deep hollows of McDowell County.
We're on Route 52 North here, just leaving Mercer County, just coming into McDowell County. And 52 is the main highway that runs down into the southern West Virginia. My Aunt Elna used to live here on the left side of the road. Anybody coming in and out of town, and particularly related to us, would always stop coming and going. She would always have a nice pack of food and drinks and things for you for the highway when you were leaving town. And she would always give you a little piece of money, as she would say, as well, to help you along your way. Before I was born, she used to run the juke joint. And I think they also used to do a little moonshining from there and some gambling. The next little town here is Keystone. And Keystone is where my father worked in a coal mine for 34 years. And many a morning in the early 70s, we only had one vehicle. And so my mom and I would have to get up and take my dad to work about 5 a.m. or so. And of course, in the evening, we would have to race back so we would be there in time to pick him up. And that's when you would see everybody coming out. You couldn't tell who was black or who was white because everybody was fully covered in coal dust. Both of my grandfathers were coal miners as well. One interesting story that I always remember about my grandfather, my mother's father, was he was in a tavern over in Blue Well, West Virginia. And during this time, there was still a lot of segregation. And there was a sign supposedly above the bar that says, "No blacks served here." And the bartender had pointed that out to my grandfather. He says, "Hey, you see that sign up there?" And my grandfather's response is, "Yeah, but it don't mean nothing to me because I can't read anyway." And he continued to have his drink and his meals.
Leaving Keystone, we take a narrow dirt road over a mountain, past a huge mountaintop removal mine site, and then arrive in Thorpe, next to Gary, West Virginia. We've come to see Dr. Cousins' 82-year-old aunt, Irene Childress. She's his mother's only surviving sibling. He visits her about once a month and brings any groceries she needs.
Hey.
Hey, baby.
How you doing?
Coming in a junkyard, but I'm old. You can understand it. Lord, I got to get the key.
What okay, no problem.
Her house is in an isolated hollow on a steep hillside, about 30-some rickety steps up.
Y'all come on in.
All righty. Doing all right?
Pretty good.
This is Miss Jean.
Hi, Miss Jean.
Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you.
I told her if anybody know anything about me that's around, it'd be you.
Yeah.
So.
I want to find out what this boy was like when he was a youngster.
He was a good child.
Really?
Never had to beat him. He was a good child all his life.
He wasn't up to orneriness when he was little?
No, ma'am. He was a good child. I mean, he come here good. And he good today. Yes, he is. But I know this is going to be a doctor, a lawyer, or something. He was always helping anybody he could help. He have all of them. Mm-hmm. I love them all so much.
Yeah, I mean, all that mess he fixed up there, it's got to be...
Once we leave Thorpe, we pass through Roth, West Virginia, where his grandparents lived, and then Crumpler, where Jeffrey went to grade school.
Now,
across this little bridge here, and up on that hill is where my school used to sit, my elementary school, Crumpler Elementary School. Thank God for those teachers, Miss Page, Miss Armstead, Miss Little, and the principal, Miss Adams, and then it became Miss Goosens. But these were all great teachers, and they really cared about us as students, and they really set us on the right path. And now we're coming into McDowell.
Hey, this is McDowell, West Virginia.
This is my hometown. We're going to go through what we call McDowell Bottom and what was also referred to as the White Camp, because this part of the area is where then was predominantly white, and now it's still, I think, it's all white people on this area, and where we lived and where the black people still live today is further up the road.
Right there is your house.
Yes. This was my playground all around here. All of we had pigs and chickens and cows and horses and you name it. Now, the house is much bigger now than when we lived in it. You can see where there have been some additions.
Yeah.
When we were there, we had the front room, the back room, the kitchen, and my mother's bedroom, and that was it. And then later on in life, we got a bathroom built into it. Before that, we had an outhouse that set out back almost by the creek. We had a huge garden all across there as well. And now it's so overgrown, you can't even see that there was a road through there.
Did you pretty much feed yourselves from your garden?
Yes, from the garden and also from the animals that we raised. They would slaughter the animals, and there was a smokehouse for curing the meat. That's the slate dump there that we would slide off in the summertime. And that's also the area where my grandfather was crushed by slate when my father was only about 3 years old, way back in about 1922. He was a coal miner as well. Here is where the railroad train ran.
This visit to McDowell County made clear the long and arduous journey Jeffrey Cousins traveled to make it to the top tier of medicine. But it also demonstrates the kind of early nurturing by a loving family and neighbors that enables people to make it there.
I actually had a wonderful childhood. There's no reason that I shouldn't be a cardiothoracic surgeon. We saw our parents work hard. We saw the neighbors work hard. And there was a pride that was instilled in each of us. And I think that those basics are the foundation of success anywhere.
As we leave McDowell, we make one last stop at a church on a steep hillside. It looks abandoned.
This is what's left of Mount Carmel Missionary Baptist Church. This is where I spent Sundays, Wednesdays, and in the summertime every day for vacation Bible school. We were all baptized into the Christian faith here. My father was a deacon here, my mother on the deaconess board, and also sing in the choir. I attribute this place to a lot of my success because it taught me how to behave in public, how to respect other people's space. I learned much about the Bible and public speaking and many of the things that I use nowadays I learned right here. This is a very special place for me. I guess the bulk of people have died or moved away.
With Dr. Cousins choking back tears, we head back to Charleston.
You could have gone anywhere in the United States to work as a heart surgeon. Why West Virginia?
Primarily, West Virginia is my home, and I love West Virginia, and I love West Virginians. I also feel that there's a need that is here for a West Virginian to be here doing heart surgery, and I think I bring a lot back to West Virginia that other heart surgeons who are not West Virginians can't possibly bring. The understanding that I always tease the patients and I tell them I'm from McDowell County. And they said, oh, that's amazing. I didn't think. I said, yeah, I speak hillbilly well. You know, and people appreciate that you can communicate with them. And because of my experiences and things with my parents, to me, it's more of a calling and fulfilling a need and being somewhere that I'm appreciated and really carrying out my childhood dreams in my own home.
For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Jean Snedeker.